saying.
Okay. Dylan, want to do the countdown?
I don't want to do the countdown anymore.
All right.
I'm bored of the countdown. Z, Y, X, W, V.
Welcome to the Fantasy is Coming. Oh, God, I messed up so bad. Fantasy is Coming, winter.
No, I guess. You're doing that again. You're doing that again.
Okay.
Arizona Coyotes, Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators, Florida Panthers, Detroit Red Wings.
And thank you for joining in to the Winter is Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. That was Dylan listing his favorite teams, I think.
No, that was from worst to best.
We didn't
get to the best yet.
Out of all the hockey teams we've talked about on this podcast.
Oilers, Vancouver Canucks. Okay, I'm done.
Wait, are we that low?
Yeah, we're 24th right now.
What? Weren't we in the wild card spot like not that long ago?
Well, I mean, this is overall standing, so I mean, we could still be near the wild card.
Okay. So
we're
it
not
is
a good team, though. The
December.
Not a good team.
I think they're pretty good.
Okay.
They're better than me. I'd say that.
Well, that's the bar you're setting.
So it is December 21st, 11 p.m. The Canucks just played an amazingly exciting and entertaining game where they lost 5-4 in overtime to the Sharks. Dylan, do you have
all of the last four blowouts have been pretty exciting.
Would you rather... So let's just say there's 10 games, and out of those 10 games, you get 10 points, like standing points. Would you rather have five wins that are like just normal 4-2 type ordeals and five losses that are kind of like 2-4 type ordeals, five blowout wins and five blowout losses, or 10 overtime losses?
10 overtime losses would just be heartbreaking.
But it would be so entertaining to watch because like there's inevitably going to be a game in that 10 game sample where you'd be down like 3-0 and have to roar back or something like that.
But then you'd have to hear all the radio hosts saying that the Canucks are winless in 10 or like winless in regulation, or like, you know how they always adjust the way that they're saying your record to make it sound positive or negative?
Right. Yeah.
They've won 10 of their last 11.
I guess from a pure entertainment standpoint, do you find blowout wins fun?
I mean, blowout wins are satisfying if they're like padding their stats. Remember the Henrik Sedin, like, let's get him the points, and
yeah,
he gets four.
We played Washington that game, I think.
What's that?
Didn't we play Washington one game? Oh, that was a game that because Daniel was also going from like Rocket Richard, I think, that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the year before, wasn't it?
I'm going to defer to you on the Canucks trivia.
All right. Derek, get in here. It's just us tonight.
Yeah, it's the...
No guests.
I guess I didn't introduce ourselves. As always, yeah. I'm your host. What's my name? Alex.
Your name's Alex. Yeah, Alex.
AKA, also named Yodel Swag, AKA Team Chemistry. And joining me on the line is, you have a new name.
My name is Dylan, also known as Brock Lobster.
Brock Lobster.
Brock Lobster.
On the weekend, Dylan and I went to a Christmas party, and there was karaoke involved. And
shout out to all the karaoke audience who now know all about our podcast because we had mics in front of us. So what were we going to do?
We did plug our podcast after Brock Lobster. Well, that was a lot of fun. I always wanted to be like a Weird Al type musician and just make alternative lyrics. But I feel like Brock Lobster is kind of untouchable just because it's already just ridiculous.
Well, I was told that Brock Osweiler had this nickname already.
Yeah, so Brock Lobster is, for those, we're kind of a multi-sport. Our fantasy league is pretty talented at all fantasy sports, namely in football, And and
do you play other fantasy leagues besides hockey and football?
I'm in basketball one as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That just like never ever. I won't even get close to that.
But
enjoy.
We talk a lot about statistical charts and everything like that. There was a period of time, like right after undergrad, where I still had some sort of knowledge of computer science and coding that I got really obsessed with stats in the NBA and made shot charts, even though they're readily available on the internet. Like, I don't know. That was just for pure eternal
curiosity's
internal
sake.
Yeah.
how does this work
how does data scrubbing work? It was pretty fun. It was a great way to show off to girls. JK, no. Because what do you do? You show people the chart and then people are like, oh, but this already exists somewhere else on the internet, and it's way, and someone else makes it way better than you. I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
But that's why you do it, though. Do it to get better,
I guess so, and I guess that's
right?
Kind of
like 1 year you'll win our league, and
yeah,
nice.
I mean, I guess it's kind of one of those monkeys on a typewriter writing Shakespeare type ordeals.
If you play enough times, you're bound to succeed. I don't think that's true of like something's. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Well,
anyways, what's on the dock for tonight?
Well,
what are we talking about?
We're gonna do a quick rundown of our last week. Kind
Let's
of
make it really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
why, what did
I'm
you get
honest,
up to today?
I don't really care about any of the other teams in this league besides mine, which is kind of funny because we're doing a podcast about it, but
yeah,
truth be told.
We'll put you on the docket. You can talk about your team for a little bit. My team did not do very well last week.
No.
I had a resounding 11-1 loss to Brent's Behind. Turns out my team's pretty bad when Austin Matthews is out with an upper body injury and Devin Dubnyk tore open his groin. it was sad. I wasn't close in anything. The one thing that I did win was plus minus. I got 19. So
plus 19. But none of your players are on the ice when points were being accumulated. Your players were just not responsible for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I had 14 assists.
You won the useless stat.
So basically, I have players on teams that are on good teams, but otherwise I suck and my goalies are bad.
Well, I think what happened was all of your players decided to like change as a goal was being scored. So all of those pluses were just like, and he's on the ice and they score, and now he gets to go celebrate with the rest of his team.
Right.
But he wasn't part of the play.
I mean, no one's going to be beating Brent, Nick, in terms of his goalies. 0.5 goals against average and a 0.984 save percentage with two shutouts.
Bonkers. Two picks has made his team just unbelievable. Vasilevskiy and
Let me pitch this to you for next year. So next year, why don't I just draft only goalies? Actually, no, not only goalies. Like, I'll draft.
I mean, you would guarantee getting 3 points this
like,
season.
Why wouldn't I just spend my middle five picks on goalies and just really have all the best goal, like the top five goalies? I draft them. And
so
then I play the waiver wire.
Let's finish our rundown here, and then we'll get into what stats our league actually tracks and maybe where we need to make some adjustments for next year.
Okay. I have some hot takes for that. Henrik and Morty beats up Tootin in the Stall 8-4. Babies Got Backlund ties with Philip on Forsberger's 5v5. Also Yellow Swag and the Godfellas 5-on-5. Also Yellow Swag on a great tear through the league right now, putting up some quality performances.
He's trending up.
His line has a positive slope, and we're going to talk about Graphgate later. Brock Lobster, known as at Jake for 10 and 18, beat up So-So Silvers 8-3. So-So Silvers dropping from their 7th place down to 8th.
That was lovely. I loved being responsible for that.
Yeah. Seven Stains unfortunately also lost 11-1 to shut your five hole, and Beasts of New Haven continue their winning streak, 7-4 against Yolo Swag Swahili, further confirming the week you're on a podcast, the next week you win.
Yeah, it's the podcast bump.
The podcast bump, except for Greg. Greg then goes on a 5-week losing streak.
But I mean, like, it's fine.
If I can also point out, not only is Brent now number one, I keep calling him Brent. Not only is Nick now number one in the league and has two of the best goalies and has a rocking job in Kamloops and has a killer wardrobe, Kelowna, wherever it is, and has a great dinner that he ate tonight. He also has the number one waiver spot.
Yeah. I mean, what was the last great drop to the waiver? Like, I don't think our recent transactions have been that great.
I would like to plug out that I picked up Philip Dubois, or Dubes, as I like to call him. And he has been killing
Not
it for
Philip.
Me.
Isn't it Pierre-Luc Dubois?
It is Pierre-Luc Dubois. Anglicized his name.
Still a P, right?
Still a P. The P, I only know him as P. Dubois or Dubes. And
yeah, but he wasn't on the waiver wire. He was a free agent. You picked him out of free agents.
Yeah, but if... Oh, right, because free agents don't work that way.
Yeah, like waivers are players that have been dropped from a team.
Right.
He has first dibs on one of those players.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of moves, I did get a trade request recently, and I don't know how to navigate it. Despite hosting a fantasy hockey podcast, I don't actually know much about fantasy hockey.
However, I wonder how many trades have been exchanged and denied, because we only get to see the trades that go to the books.
Our league is pretty good at saying whenever a trade
announcing
is.
Trades.
I think you've done all the trades, I think.
I mean, I've had
the
one
at the beginning
trade.
Of the season. Yeah.
I've had one successful trade. But it seems to be that it's just Paul and Megan that have been trading players back and forth.
And I just hate trading because inevitably,
I
especially,
want a trade to happen.
Especially if it's a player I've drafted. I have, you know, let's just say we're looking at teams. So the trade proposed to me was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's right now ranked 320th in our fantasy hockey pool, for Patrick Sharp, who is ranked 508th. So from that, I should probably deny this trade. Also, my favorite thing was when that trade was requested, there were two things posted. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his Roto-World said he will remain on the first line. And then Patrick Sharp's Roto-World said he may be seeing the press box soon. So it was on a chart, they'd be having the opposite slopes.
So I think that's important to bring up, though, because when you're making a trade in a fantasy league, you're not looking at past performance. You're looking on current trends.
Right. But the other thing that I would say, let's just say you try to get, realistically, if you're trying to trade for, who's the best player on your team?
Brock Besser.
Now, Brock Besser is ranked, let's just say, 100th in the league, right?
Oh, he's higher than that.
Okay, let's just say he's ranked Brock Besser.
He's
33rd. I might offer you a collection of assets that should result in the same production as Brock Besser. But because you've drafted Brock Besser and really cultivated him on your team.
I didn't draft Brock Besser.
Draft Brock Besser.
Draft Brock Besser.
you picked him up from the free agent pool, right?
Yeah, after him sitting in the press box for the first two games.
Right.
I had Jake Virtanen, but and I dropped Jake and picked up Brock.
But you've bought into this concept that is Brock Besser's fantasy stats. But you've also now come to own it. So now me trying to come to you to try to attain the essence of Brock Besser, that in itself, you now have this personal attachment to Brock Besser's stats,
yeah.
Right?
But you're getting too emotional.
Exactly. So let's just say Brock Besser on a scale of 1 to 10. Obviously, he's a 10 in everything. But let's just say, and in hair, looks, his stick ability, all that type of stuff. But Brock Besser, let's just say, give him a random ranking, say 88, right? Now, I offer you a collection of assets that average out to 88. Let's just say I'm giving you two players. Taking a quick look at my roster, let's just say I offer you... Let's say I offer you Anisimov and, say, a Craig Smith. That's a terrible trade. Don't take that trade. Let's say I offer you
accepting that trade.
Let's say I offer you James Neal and Artem Anisimov.
Like, see, like, I would look at that trade, though.
Yeah, exactly. But
James Neal and
if you were to have a third party look at that trade, they'd probably tell you, hey, you're taking two great players for a guy that might have an unsustainable shooting percentage and should, by all accounts, maybe, knock on wood, should regress, right? So, like, a third party would look at this trade and be like, take the damn trade because it's a really great deal for you.
Right.
Yeah. But because you've now not only picked up Brock Besser, like, if I tried to trade for Brock Besser a week after you picked him up, you wouldn't have the same emotional attachment.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm not looking at it in terms of emotional attachment.
But that's what it is.
It's, well, I mean, it's also that he scores every second game, right?
But let's just say our team, our league was so ignorant. Let's just say we all went on a collective vacation together to like some cabin in the woods where there's
I'd love internet. That.
And we came back and we saw, holy smokes, this guy named Brock Besser is killing it. And somebody picks him up. And immediately, I then offer him, or her, I guess, them the James Neal Artem Anisimov trade. They would probably take it right away.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it is...
I guess, so your point is that, like, the longer a player is on your team, the harder it is to trade them.
That is exactly right.
Okay. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, like, if you want to move and shake and move things around. I've almost traded Brock Besser twice now.
Okay.
Like, oh, once I had really? A trade pending and then I canceled it.
What was the trade? Can I ask?
Well, it was for Carey Price. It was okay. Brock Besser for Carey Price. Derek wanted that trade. That was about 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago?
And honestly,
I think that was a good trade.
That's a very good trade. I don't know. Why did you cancel?
No, like, if you take from that point their trend lines, Brock Besser is now more valuable than Carey Price is after, like, the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So I'm glad I didn't take it. But I wasn't looking at it in terms of, like, I'm attached to Brock Besser. I say that, but now I'm looking at my team, and Brendan Saad's still on my team.
Right. And you drafted Brendan Saad.
I drafted Brendan Saad.
And Brendan Saad, and it's kind of like...
It's because do you care about,
like, let's just say
week.
Brandon Saad, a headline came up. Brandon Saad struggling emotionally due to recent cold streak. And he
recent
just.
Fantasy team performance.
Recent. No, just like in life, he's struggling. And he has this like really heartfelt interview and he's like, you know, like a reporter asks him like, hey, Brandon, like. You know, you're kind of struggling this year. You're shooting a lot, that kind of thing. And Brandon kind of gives his heartfelt response that's like, you know, this is really indicative of my life. Like, I take all these chances of everything and nothing ever seems to go my way. You know, he's just like really pouring his heart out.
Okay.
Do you think you would have more of a reaction to that story because you have him on your fantasy team as opposed to, say, myself, who like just looks at the Brandon Saad as this guy that, you know, for all intents and purposes, just shoots everything that comes onto his stick.
I mean, I think because I've paid attention to him this year, that would probably have more of an effect on me. Right. But if he was like, straight up, I don't think I'm going to perform that well this season,
yeah.
I'd probably drop him pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean,
I probably should drop him pretty quick.
It's like, I guess the other thing is like, let's just say we were to hire a third-party service and they were to come into...
What should the name of this third-party service be?
The third-party service should be Fantasy Lifeguards.
Fantasy Analytics Incorporated?
No, that's lame. Fantasy Lifeguards. And so the Fantasy Lifeguard...
Fantasy Lifeguard. Fantasy Lifeline.
Yeah, Fantasy Lifeline. I like that.
All right.
So the Fantasy Lifeline, you give them your Yahoo login, if it hasn't already been hacked, because we all know how...
they already have it.
Because they already have it. And they look at your team, and they literally just go, why do you still have this guy? There's no reason why you should. So they might look at my team, and they're like, why the heck do you have Thomas Tatar? And I say, I would like tartar sauce, and that's why I have him.
Okay, we're done with this. We're moving on.
Okay.
I'd say I want tartar sauce.
I want tartar sauce. Moving on to this week, Dylan, we are playing each other.
We are, yeah. How's it going so far?
Right now,
so I'd like to just point out one thing.
Yes.
Since we were talking about plus minus.
Yeah.
This week, we are playing plus minus as if we were playing golf.
Right.
I am minus 10 and you are minus 7, which technically means I'm winning. But in hockey, that means you're winning.
Right. And that's a good thing we're playing fantasy hockey, I suppose. although that'd be interesting because I know a lot of hockey players like playing golf in the off season.
Is there fantasy golf? Can you like...
But I want fantasy... There is fantasy golf like for professional golf players. I want fantasy golf for hockey players.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd love to go to like a fantasy, not a fantasy, sorry, a real life golf tournament with hockey players and then just bet on them like
yeah.
for that tournament, but not on the internet, like in person.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'd be into that. Just seeing pros do stuff outside, because I feel like any athlete, especially if you get to the professional level, just has this irrational confidence, you know? Like... like you could, just,
that's true of all athletes.
Yeah. Like, don't you think if we, let's just say Brad Marchand was all of a sudden
example,
really, well, do you I not mean, like he's on your team?
He's always that's not because he's a pro.
That's because he's,
he was a cocky piece of dink work when he was like,
okay, Jack junior. Eichel. Let's say Jack Eichel, you place him at, you know, just one day you're like, hey, Jack Eichel, we're going to do an undercover episode, and you're going to be a car mechanic, okay?
And this is a Kevin Bieksa skit.
Is it? Okay.
Well, this is what he does.
Okay.
He's dressed up as security a couple of times.
But, like, the thing is, though, like, Jack Eichel, you actually have to do the work of a car mechanic. Like, this isn't – you're not trolling.
Oh, so,
like,
so he just wants to
You're dropped in. Like, you are now a car mechanic. So Jack Eichel's like, okay. And let's just say he gets, like, somehow – he gets the inherent skill to be a car mechanic, okay?
So he's in the Matrix.
Sure.
He's downloaded
confession,
it.
I haven't seen the Matrix.
Okay, so he goes, I know how to fix cars.
Yes. Jack Eichel isn't British, right? Like, I'm pretty sure he's American.
Neither is Keanu, but...
okay.
I decided to go there with it.
So Jack Eichel gets the knowledge to be a car. Not to be a car, to be a car mechanic.
I'm losing you here.
Okay. No, I'll bring it back. So his first day as a car mechanic, you know how like people come in with their cars and they've been in accidents and that kind of stuff. And at a certain point, a car mechanic has to go like, this thing is so broken, I can't fix it. I'm writing it off, right?
So Jack Eichel never.
Jack Eichel like, would
I
never
can fix
say
everything.
You could bring him like just the door, and you're like, I don't know what happened, but this is my car. It's just the driver's side door, and Jack Eichel will be like, I am going to fix this, and don't you worry. And he will just like that because that's
build
that's
the rest
thing.
Of the car.
I'll build the rest of the car, and that's because that's what it takes to be a professional athlete.
You just got to build the rest of the car. Okay, so talking about professional athletes, can I just bring something up here?
Please.
Since this is our Christmas episode, I would like to gift everybody the Team Canada list of players for the upcoming Winter Olympics.
Sweet.
I'd just like to discuss this list of players because it is like a trip down memory lane, really. Of Canadian hockey players that don't play in the NHL anymore.
Right.
A couple of standouts.
Oh, this is for the Olympics. I was
looking
at the World
yeah.
Juniors.
No. This is the Olympics.
Yes, because I read the Spengler Cup list, and oh, this is so good. Okay, yeah, please go ahead.
Gilbert Brulé.
Gilbert Brulé. great one. Vancouver Giants.
His biggest achievement was?
Played in the Phoenix Coyotes.
No. He played against Sidney Crosby. Oh. That was like his big...
But I remember they were going good. To the... Like, they went toe to toe.
Crosby was good. And I think Brulé was the second goodest.
Second best.
And so... Yeah, second best. But I remember going to the Peony Forum and seeing the banners that were like, Brulé versus Crosby this Friday. It was like this big game that was about to happen. And Brulé was, didn't he go like top 10? He was
a very high draft pick. And people, I think Vancouver passed on him, didn't they?
Probably. I don't know. I don't actually know yet.
I mean, the guy's 5'11", 187. Like, I don't know what you're going to be doing. Like, that just seems like he was not really set up for success there.
Okay, other standouts on here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of ex-Canucks.
Yeah.
We have Derek Roy. Wait, he didn't. No, he did play for the Canucks.
Did he? I think because he just.
For
he's
like
just
one season. He was like an off-season pickup.
Because I thought Derek. I know Derek Roy because he's like Thomas Vanek's line mate from the Buffalo Sabres era.
Yeah, so we had him for like one season, I think. It was trade deadline, I think we picked him up.
Oh, I can't wait to get Jack Eichel at the end of his career.
And Lyndon Vey.
Hey, we were talking about Lyndon Vey earlier.
The KHL sniper, right?
Leader of the KHL. Yep.
And in net, Ben Scrivens.
Oh, Ben Scrivens.
Ben Scrivens apparently is the best goalie in the KHL right now.
That is crazy.
And he's also let in one of the worst goals. in the quickest amount of time in the KHL ever. He let a goal in, I think it was last week or the week before, in the first 2.5 seconds.
Whoa.
It was off the faceoff, slap shot from the wing, and it bounced weird and went over his glove.
That's hard to bounce back from.
They still won the game. It was the only goal he let in that game.
A couple other standouts from here. Yeah, Max Talbot.
Max Talbot, yeah.
He's
a winner. He's been on winning teams.
He has the grit factor.
But, you know, he's got those intangibles.
He's also 5'11", 185. Sorry, I really resound with this because that's what I am. But if you look, imagine Max Talbot and Gilbert Brulé standing beside each other. Who's bigger?
They're the same size.
Obviously, because you see the weight and height in front of them. But, like,
I'm
in
imagining
your head,
them standing next to each other because I have their exact measurements in front of me.
No, but just, like, imagine. They're the same size. Think about, like project your image of Max Talbot.
Right.
Like, without knowing anything about him, besides the fact that he plays a hockey and, like.
He's so gritty. He's so gritty. He's, like.
And then now project like your image of Gilbert Brulé.
Not
like
gritty.
In my head, he's
soft.
Smaller, right?
He's kind of creamy.
Yes.
Rene Bork's on this team, too.
Rene Bork, former Calgary Flames sniper.
I thought he just was on a team.
Like I thought he was playing NHL. A third or fourth. Same with P.A. Parenteau. I thought he was just playing like a third or fourth line role.
So does this team win?
Well, okay, so no Russia. So we don't have to play Kovalchuk or anything. Wait,
so hold on. When you were saying that the Russian team is out of the Olympics and they get to wear those athlete from Russia teams, or Russia athlete from Russia shirts, so could they not just make a hockey team out of the players and call themselves the athletes from Russia hockey team?
So
like they're not the Russian hockey team. They're just athletes from Russia. It's different.
They're just a collection of athletes who have.
Yeah,
to be
imagine
from
they all just they all.
Yeah,
in like
and I think the whole point.
A big flag, and on the flag it just says
no, but
athletes from Russia.
No, they'd be the athletes that come in at the end of the parade that don't have any affiliation, which is so
they just
sad.
Play with Olympic flag jerseys.
No, that's the thing. That's what's going to happen. It's like. Typically, that designation is reserved for countries that like don't support their athletes, like people who are like refugees from war-torn countries and like have survived insurmountable odds and like have trained and become world-class athletes at their sports.
Yeah.
Except now we have this like the whole point of banning Russia was to be like, hey, like there's a significant amount of evidence that you were just
cheating,
just cheating
all the time,
and like had agents running around inside labs, inside walls that were switching out urine samples. It just crazy, like spy novel type, you know, scenarios.
So do you think Russia sends in athletes under other countries' names, and then when they get on the podium, they just rip off their
So you know that happened
flags
in Sochi, right?
It's Russia.
So
what?
Leading up to Sochi, Russia got like an amazing figure skater and an amazing speed skater from Korea. They just gave them citizenship so that they could get more medals. Russia's like...
Why do they care about that?
It's
so
the
much?
National pride thing. And you know how Canadians have national pride, but it's like a goofy pride.
Only
like
for
it's,
one sport.
Canadians have a national pride that is like you go to a parade and you wear like Canada sunglasses and like a Canada hat.
You wear red mittens with the leaf on them.
Right. And that's like the extent of Canadian pride. U.S.
Yeah,
has
like,
something similar.
We get happy when we win one. We're like,
yeah.
We won one gold medal. That's
we won
amazing.
One. Yes.
Like, our goal is to win one.
The U.S. have another... The U.S. are, like, the irrational confidence mechanic we were just talking about earlier. Like, they just... they know they're going to win, and they love pointing that out. And they,
yeah.
You know...
Michael
just
Phelps is like, is that just a car door? Watch yeah. me.
Watch.
I'm going to build the
no,
rest of the car.
You just give him a screw, and you're like, I got this, bro.
Oh, he's like... Ah, yes, of course, a Honda Civic.
No, you
right up. Yeah. Coming right up.
Russia has the level above the States, which is like, I will kill anyone that says Russia
like
is
not good.
Like
mad scientist
level.
Yeah.
Like,
so now that Russia's not in the Olympics and no hockey players are in the Olympics, what sport are you most excited to watch? And you can't say ultimate because that's a summer sport.
That's the only reason. I hate watching Ultimate, just as an FYI, but
that's like everyone who plays baseball.
I'll watch Ultimate if like my friends are playing. Like I have a lot of friends who are like on Team Canada and stuff, so often their games will be streamed, but I won't.
But baseball players say that same thing. They're like, I love playing, but I hate watching it.
Yeah.
Because they're really... probably just like, I could be standing out there doing nothing.
Have you ever cross-country skied?
No.
Okay, I've cross-country skied like 3 times, and the idea that somebody can cross-country ski and then have the mental and physical stamina to then shoot at targets is baffling to me.
So you're most excited for the biathlon?
Biathlon and Nordic combined, because the whole idea of ski jumping. Although, I would like to see one little change to Nordic combined. So right now, Nordic combined is you do the ski jump, and then you have a staggered start based off of your finish in the ski jump.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see everybody ski jump at the same time, and then you go, and then you go straight into the cross country ski. You jump, land, and then you do the course.
Just like 50 people all at once.
There you go. Well, you do heats and then you do a final. Like that's how you do it.
But like, aren't cross country skis like grippy?
They are. You're correct. They use two different types of skis.
They're not meant to be going like off jumps.
Well,
oh, so mid jump.
This is an untapped market.
Skis.
No, not mid jump. You just have the one pair of skis. So you'd have to choose, I guess. You'd choose
Here's another idea.
Yeah.
Here's another idea. Sorry, I'm gonna move us away from skiing and back to hockey. Do you think the NHL would have let the hockey players go to the Olympics if they didn't play games? They just competed in like all-star skills competitions.
So this
the
is
Olympics.
The part. This is the part that really baffles me, because there was that whole like summit series or like the international series where they played. You know when Matt Duchene got traded and stuff like that, and like he played his first games like in Sweden,
right?
And that was a whole thing of like, hey, like the NHL really wants to increase international presence.
Of course, but not
hello,
in South Korea.
There's a great international tournament where everybody in the world is watching by chance, and you didn't send your players to that? Like, that just seems...
But they're in South Korea, and the games are at 3 a.m.
Like, that, when,
that's
okay.
why they're not sending them.
That's
and they're
the
not
whole,
getting a cut of any money.
That
but
is the whole point of the Olympics,
Fergie.
Though.
Back to my point, Fergie.
Okay, fine.
Would you not like to see the all-star skills competition in the Olympics? Imagine the fastest skater... with speed skaters, but they're NHL
players.
They'd
suck. It destroyed the illusion of that Michael Grabner's a fast skater. Because you have a
Are they
person.
That much slower, though? Do you think if you put a speed skater up to a
I don't think Michael Grabner would
full...
qualify for any speed skating team.
What's that?
I don't think... Who's the fastest skater in the league? McDavid?
McDavid, probably.
I don't think McDavid qualifies for a speed skating team.
I would just... like. I'd love to see him go up against...
It'd be
in
interesting
a straight line.
It'd be in interesting to line. See... Oh, it'd be interesting to see them go up against each other.
They should do it on curling rinks, right? Because they're straight lines.
This is outside of my area of expertise. Is that a callback to last episode?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so Henrik Sedin doing the accurate pass, except it's like the biathlon.
I could
so
see Henrik Sedin being
like
a good
skates,
curler.
He skates kind of like doing the Red Bull crushed ice on that type of course.
That'd
crushed
be a great
or whatever it's called,
Olympic
right?
sport, don't you think?
And then he stops, grabs a stick, has 10 pucks, and has to hit a bunch of targets.
Okay.
Keeps skating. Body checks, like, well, no one. Who are we kidding? And then tags off to, like, Brent Burns, who does take out a rifle, starts shooting. And it's so, yeah, I don't know. It's his own rifle.
Right. Yeah.
That's. I just think that,
I don't
like,
know. I
would watch that, and I don't think the NHL would have a problem with that because no one's going to get a concussion, right?
Their issue isn't concussions, though. Their issue was the money. Like,
I think
ever
that would
think,
be more money.
Don't ever think that leagues are concerned about concussions. They're concerned about the financial repercussions of people having concussions.
The concussions of their dollars, I understand.
Because you have a concussion and the guy's out
their
for
dollar concussions.
A year. And, like, I don't know. I wonder what the popularity of the NHL had suffered with, like, the year or 2 years that Sidney Crosby was out.
Yeah. I wonder too.
Anyways, what
was that an episode? That was an episode of.
Well, that was sports, another that was another business. Fantasy sports, but I do it'll
fantasy
be interesting.
Sports,
I'm
fantasy business sports. Business sports is that
balancing the books? I think
business?
Was
balancing the books. Of
balancing
course.
The books was our sports business podcast. is there any names that you're surprised that aren't on this? Olympic pre-roster?
I thought there would be like a more noteworthy goalie, but apparently Ben Scrivens is good outside of the NHL. He's just not good in the NHL.
I'm surprised that...
And I'm surprised there's no like junior players on here.
Well, I wonder if that's coming later.
Don't so here's think? The other thing. There's a lot of other like professional leagues around the world, so I guess we don't really need to dip into the junior teams, right? Like these guys are all like professional athletes. They're just not in the NHL. They're in the SHL and the KHL.
Right.
And the SHL and the NLA.
But I also think like Gilbert Bellet right now is 5'11", 185.
Yeah, he's still 5'11", 185.
But as a – no, like the currently. Oh, yes. I guess in the 2 minutes we've been talking about him, yes.
He hasn't changed.
But when he was drafted, he was not. Like, he was probably...
He was probably still 5'11".
He was probably 5'11", but he was probably, like, 160, 150. Like, you can be a super talented person that plays hockey. Hockey player, as they're commonly referred to.
Hockey players.
And, but if you're that small, like, you'll just get destroyed, right? Like, what I'm saying is, like, okay, who's the best player? Who's the best player on the world junior team for Canada?
Your guess is as good as mine right now. I have no idea.
Okay.
I haven't really
let's
been
just say his name. Yeah, I don't know either. Well, let's just say it's Eric Smolt or whatever his name is. I don't know. That's not a real name, but for the purposes of discussion, his name is Eric Smolt. Eric Smolt, who is, say, 6 foot but 150 pounds. Oh my gosh, that's a ridiculous human. Who is 6 foot and like 170 pounds. Like, he could have all the skill in the world, but he'll, the minute he's touched by a grown man, he'll just, I'm so bad at phrasing.
The minute he's touched by a grown man.
But the minute, you get what I'm saying, right? Like, he could have all the skill, but he'll just get intimidated and he won't be able to contribute. What I'm saying is that this guy, whoever this guy name is, Brent Eric Odell, at 6'1", 200 pounds, will be a better presence on the ice for a tournament that's played against other men.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm getting at?
I guess so.
It's like you play. Have you ever been good at a sport? That's a really mean thing to say. like, okay, this happens all the time when I play Ultimate. And I'll, like, go to a pickup game. And inevitably, there's a high school player there who has, like, all the energy in the world and will run around. And I don't have to run. And I can still guard him effectively because I know how to play.
And you're Joe Thornton.
Joe Thornton, I mean, highly skilled player. But there are people out there that are just faster and probably have better handling skills and everything. But just by virtue of him playing, you know, it's kind of Malcolm Gladwell's like 10,000 hour theory. Like, he just has so much more reps and scenarios. He's played every scenario possible.
It's that old man strength.
And it's just, I think that's what this is. Like, you just have a bunch of players who have played 10,000 plus hours of adult hockey and professional hockey.
So
they'll be better than juniors.
This is a long way of saying the Canucks, another Canucks, the Canadian team is still going to win gold because we have the most man hours of hockey.
It'd be interesting to see, like, maybe we'll do this in a later podcast, but we'll accumulate the number of games played professionally by all these rosters, and we'll presumably that's what we'll guess. Like, it'd be interesting to see how it correlates with the actual finishing of the teams.
Okay, after the Olympics. That will be our episode.
Oh, we should totally do this for the NHL, too.
Just the amount of man hours per team?
Well, like, okay, I guess you just go for the most veteran team and see how that translates. I don't know. This always happens in the playoffs, too, right? Where you have the except for the Nashville last year.
Well, the team that has Jager on, it's going to be the best, then.
That's true. This is
Calgary's going to win the Stanley Cup. You've heard
it. We might have to do some stats.
Megan, Paul, you're welcome. Fergie loves Calgary, and the Flames are going to win. Flames are going
to
win the Cup.
Well, we might need to do some stats finagling to get it to work and make some meaningful data.
All right.
Which you did a lot of.
Meaningful data.
Week.
Speaking of meaningful data.
Oh my gosh, why do you have to make the segue? I set it up nicely, and then you just like, well, nice segue, and let me just make it more obvious. Anyway, go on.
we've had a little bit of a Graphgate.
Graphgate.
In the group lately.
So just a recap. Why don't you give us a recap of what the graph used to be? So the graph used to be...
I have, for the last two seasons, completed a graph of our statistical statistics and our statistical rankings over the week and the placement of each team.
Right.
And my graph is always on an upward trend because everyone is accumulating points.
So so just to recap, the x-axis...
Recap my recap, please.
So the x-axis... So the graph was very simple.
Again,
our team...
A visual medium.
Visual medium.
Podcast.
But just to describe it, Dylan was just simply graphing the point total, which is just the, you know, you win 11-1, you gain 11 points, and the other team gains one. And throughout the league, so everybody's gaining, no one's ever losing points. And then on the x-axis was the week. So kind of a boring graph, in my opinion, because all you get is that. And the entertainment of the graph.
A couple of lines squiggling up towards the top.
Yeah, and Dylan kind of did some cool stuff with, like, curving some lines or anything. But really, that doesn't...
Yeah,
lines don't actually mean anything in this graph because you can't really use it as a projection measure of, like, at week 11 and a half, you had this many points or whatever.
Yeah, so you can't change... You can't see trends.
Yeah, but
so
the entertainment of the graph... I just want to say, the entertaining part of that graph was the graphics. And you'd have, like, the three stars of the week... Your title would always be entertaining. It'd refer to something that happened in the group chat or something like that. But anyways, I digress. You obviously felt a need recently.
I felt a need to change because the graph would never really articulate or show the trend of a team. Everyone's trending upwards. And so it was hard to see when a team was like not doing well, was on like a 6-week losing streak or something like that. And there, because nobody was moving down, it was either up or flat.
Right, and you'd kind of have to like read the tea leaves a little bit, like you just look at the relative slopes of stuff. But you know, it's not immediately apparent to the average consumer of the graph.
The 14 people in our league.
Yes.
So I went through some graph experiments. And I tried a bunch of different things. We started with distance from first, which gave us a really good look of like how closely the league is to first place. And it would show when a team has had a really good week and they're getting closer to first, or if they've had a really terrible week and they're getting further from first. But the problem is that that one keeps on opening downwards, and the person in first always stays at first. So their line just stays flat because they're the measuring post in which everyone is being measured by.
Right.
So then we moved to closest based on the average.
Right.
Or distance from average, which would show everyone kind of moving up and down as it related to the average, which still gave us like a good trend line for everybody. Some people would be below average, some people would be above average. But what would happen is if a team was really, really terrible that week, they would pull all the lines down and first place would actually drop, even though they've had a lead that grew. So that didn't work either. And then at 1 a.m. one morning, Fergie came up with a normalizing equation, which definitely helped. And now our graph, again, like this is so terrible to talk about. On a podcast, but it's squiggly and everything stays in line and it shows trends and ranking, and Greg hates it and I don't care because it's beautiful now.
And I think, I mean, on the podcast, obviously we can't really admire what had happened, but I mean, what we kind of talked about is the process, right? Like you obviously didn't feel fulfilled by making the other graph or something like that.
Fulfilled?
Yeah, like there's a reason why, you know, this graph that really isn't, like your delivery is just in our group chat. So really people just view it for like 2 seconds, right?
They'll be and like, I probably spend way too much time on it. And
but I mean,
I'm
it
not
obviously
being
gives
paid
you some
for
sort
it.
Of,
and
yeah,
you had I would love for you guys to donate to our Patreon because I set that up and...
Have you set up
explicitly
our...
said that we do not deserve money, which I found was a little bit harsh.
I mean, so... I feel like Steve can say that. He works. He's a professional student.
He's a professional student, professional
so he,
podcaster.
Professional podcaster. Like, he creates
professional
content.
Comedian.
Does he do stand-up?
Well, he's a, you know, he's a improv alum.
Improv alum. Like, he's an artist, right?
He's an artist. He's an artist.
Yeah. And he can say that type of stuff.
So that was GraphGate. That felt riveting. I knew that
right.
That sounded really, really amazing.
And kind of throughout this GraphGate, obviously, there were a lot of outspoken critics and everything like that. Did you want to call anyone
Greg.
Out? And...
Just Greg.
Just Greg. Okay.
Greg was being a big old jerk. I think Megan put it succinctly when she said, "I agree with Greg. Change is scary."
Right.
Go back to the original.
I wonder why people like the original. Like, it didn't do anything. Although, it might be the one thing, you know, just assigning rhyme to reason or reason to rhyme, whatever the expression is.
I always look for reasons to rhyme.
Perhaps the reason is that...
I want to be a mime.
It's the one constant you can depend on, right? Like, no matter what happened, your line's going to go up. And that perhaps gives you some sort of sense of satisfaction. I don't know. I feel like it's a meaningless line, but there it is. I mean, that's the nice thing about the old graph is that no matter what
is
happened
that the name
in
of this
week,
episode, the name of this episode, the meaningless line,
the meaningless line. And the nice thing about the old graph was no matter what happened in your week, you could have
your line was always going up.
Your line was always going up. You could have lost 11-1, but your line's going up. You could have had a terrible week at work, but your line's going up. You could have burnt dinner and are now starving. Not saying that's what's happening to me right now, but your line will always go up. And the most unfortunate thing now is that I
Fergie,
lost 11.
You need to, You need to stop doing this podcast. I can hear it in your voice. You're hangry.
Yes. And, you know, now I lose 11-1. I don't have dinner and my line has gone down.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
But let's get to the end of this.
Yeah. So just a couple of, like, slow NHL news days. I just quickly loaded up Sportsnet and I didn't realize this, but Oilers gaining swagger back with first win streak of the season. This is the first time they've won 3 wins in a row. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing. Is swagger spelt with 3 W's then? I feel like that's something Sportsnet would do. Oilers getting their swagger back.
Other favorite things from this, Tortorella pleads to let teams decide games.
What's the alternative?
I guess, I don't know. Maybe they were all ski jumping, and that's what the refs decided.
So in the last Columbus game, somebody just stopped the game and wrote the score down and was like, we're done.
This is the score you're supposed to play to. Please make it happen.
We're done. Game over.
Yes. And also, my other favorite was Oilers plan to use healthy Andre Sequeira in all situations. Which I only can assume also means coaching, locker room motivation,
he's their next flight captain.
Sharpening sticks, that kind of thing. But the other,
he's also flying them to their next destination.
But my other favorite thing that I saw from the week was this video that the NHL posted. Once again, choosing great mediums to discuss on videos, discuss in an audio podcast. But it was a video of Mike Babcock and the Leafs in a kitchen. And basically Mike Babcock was trying to lead the team through cooking a dinner. And I think it was for charity or something like that.
He was running the line.
And I can't help but think, but there's very few scenarios that I wouldn't trust Mike Babcock either on or off the ice to lead. Don't you think? Like a plane could be going down. Your plane could be... You know, there could be smoke coming out. Kind of like you've seen the movie Airplane.
So, yeah, what I imagine the situation is that somebody screams, "The pilot, he's dead! Is there anyone who can fly this jet?" And Mike Babcock stands up and goes, "Well, I'm not a pilot, but I coach the Maple Leafs," and everyone's totally okay with that. And he just runs into the cockpit.
Is that your Mike Babcock impression? Sorry.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
I imagine. Sorry, can you say that one more time? Can you give me a couple sentences? Do Mike Babcock talking about his goalie situation right now?
Well, you know what? And Anderson's doing everything he can for us, and we're letting a few too many shots through, and he's pulling us out, which is great.
And okay. All right, so now Mike Babcock in this Mike Babcock landing the plane, and he talks about his 2004 Cup run with J.S. Giguerin, Giant Pads, and Paul Kariya.
What?
Wait, like that's how Mike Babcock got known as a good coach, though, right? It was because of the fact that he like led this number 8 or 7 seed to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Did he coach with that the Ducks? Team?
I'm like 100% sure he coached that team, right? That's how he got known as a good coach. And then
he was always a Detroit coach.
No, he went to Detroit after that cup run.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mike Babcock was named NHL's Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Sorry, that sounds like he changed his name. I missed a very important point of that sentence. Mike Babcock was named head coach of the NHL's Mighty Ducks of Anaheim on May 22nd, 2002. And he got them to the 2003 Stanley Cup Finals, where they lost in 7 games to the New Jersey Devils.
Incredible.
And then...
The more you know.
And then the lockout happened. And then he went to the Red Wings, where he got a ton of money.
And a ton of Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
Well, just one, maybe.
Just
two.
The one. What was the back to back series with the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Right. All right.
But Mike Babcock.
This has been Babcock Hour.
Babcock Hour. Bab Talk, right?
Bab Talk.
Bab Talk. But yeah, I'm just saying, Mike Babcock could direct a movie. Like, if Christopher Nolan needs a new director for his movie, he'd be like, hey guys, we're gonna, you know, just like J.S.C. Jarre saved the day many times in 2003, DiCaprio, you gotta really tap into your inner goalie. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say that Jigar is going to play the next Batman.
Jigar can definitely play the next Batman. Not only that guy save a bunch of pucks, he could save a city. I don't know.
Okay, I have a couple of... I actually have one shout-out for
our
episode here. Tony, thanks for listening to every single episode, including this one.
Wait,
was the last 55 minutes worth it?
Our friend Tony from work.
Yeah. He's listened That's to every awesome. Single episode.
That's amazing. I he's, assume my friend...
He's our number one fan.
That's great. Yeah, Tony from... Him. My friend Tony as well from church.
No, he's my from to. My phone... Oh, my friend Tony from work.
Our friend and Tony from work.
Okay, fine. Our friend Tony.
Yeah. We should have him as a guest. We'll talk about...
Maybe.
We'll okay, because he's super into Star Wars. So we'll have him... Come on, and we'll talk about which Star Wars character would be the best hockey player.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. Well, you're on next.
As always, this has been another episode of the Winter is Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I've been your host, Alex.
This is probably our last episode for 2018. I mean, 2017. Because I don't know. I'm not recording one over Christmas. Are you going to record one over Christmas by yourself?
Well, there's a couple days after Christmas that we could probably record and release. I don't know. Whatever we'll happens, happens. We don't respond to a higher authority, you know?
Yeah, we do what we want to do.
We do what we want. We're kind of a wild podcast like that. We take wild stances on Nazis and bullying and what have you.
And I'll stand directly in the middle of the...
And Dylan stands directly in the middle. But, you know, we have hot takes and... You cool enjoy eats. Them. as always, this has been another great episode. Everybody, good luck in their matchups, except for Dylan, because I hope I beat you this week.
Okay. Bye, everyone.